Hello and welcome to episode number 7 of The Insider, brought to you by Vanishing Ink. There may be some strange background noise today because on the line, where are you, Harapan? Seoul?
I'm in Seoul. I'm standing in a hotel lobby in Seoul in South Korea.
So there may be some background chitter-chatter from people in Seoul, for which we apologise, but we'll push through that because we've got Harapan on the line. How are you, Harapan?
Hey, I'm good. Hi, everyone. Everyone listening, hi.
What are you doing over there?
I'm traveling around. I usually take the time off. Right now, it's the school holidays in Singapore, and I'm a school teacher over here, so I try to take the time off to kind of explore the world, meet more magicians, hang out and learn from everyone around the world, make more friends, and that's what I'm doing. I was just in China, in Shanghai and Guangzhou, and now I am in Seoul and watching these amazing Korean magicians, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen some of your stuff on Insta. Some of them are doing crazy stuff.
Absolutely insane. I just posted something from Shanghai, which is a crazy, crazy clip. You should go and check it out.
How can someone find you on Instagram if they're not already following you?
Okay, so you can find me on Instagram. Go to Instagram.com, or if you have the app, go and download the app. You can find me at Harapan Ong. That's my name, HARAPANONG, just one single word. And you can find me. I've got quite a number of followers. You can find the clips there, yeah.
You have got quite a few followers.
Quite a few. More than 5.
Magical Instagram celebrity, Harapan. So let's talk about that, actually. How did you, because I'm sure we'll have people listening that would love to have the follow account that you've got. How did you grow your followers?
It's kind of a strange thing. I'm actually quite slow on Instagram. I started quite late. Actually, my friend Kevin Ho kind of got me into Instagram. I wasn't on any social media at the time, and he just messaged me one day and said, dude, you need to get with the times. Go and download Instagram and get started. I downloaded it. I posted a photo of myself. I think it was a photo of a piece of shortbread or something like that. Mm-hmm. And that was the first photo. And then I got about 18 followers from that. about 18 followers. So what happened was Kevin immediately posted something saying, haha, my friend Harapan is such a loser with only 18 followers. That actually got me up to like a few hundred because people just wanted to prove Kevin wrong, I think. But then I think that's what happened. So eventually I just started posting more and more magic stuff. I realized that was what I should focus on instead of just food photos.
Right. So cardistry rather than shortbread.
Well, not cardistry. I'm not a cardist. I do magic. So mostly just card magic, my ideas of videos of my friends. And from there, I just started building a following. People really liked what I did. And it just took off and it was insane.
So what about the hashtag thing? Because obviously my job's marketing, and when I read on the social media things, people are always saying, oh yeah, hashtag, 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 that's how you do it.
Right.
No, with you, it was just posting excellent content.
Yeah, I think if you look at the statistics on my posts, most of the views I get come from just my own followers, which I'm something I'm quite proud of. I'm not trying to used a billion hashtags and trying to tag many people like some people do, or begging people. But some people do that. They do beg other people to please follow me or please share my stuff. Please can you do this for me? Share my stuff and things like that. I'm a very passive guy. I just sit around. I post stuff that I think is good. And I think there is a market for it that people like what I'm posting. It's just good, solid stuff. And yeah, that's how it just got there.
There's clearly a market for it. So talk to me about the difference between creating magic for Instagram versus real people.
Oh, the thing about it is very similar to the kind of thing you would think of for TV magic. Except the TV magic obviously is usually is in an episode where you can hire stooges if you like, or you can arrange and cut as much as you like. I think for Instagram, it's a very solo activity. Usually, It has to be directed towards the camera. It has to be visual. Last time it used to be 15 seconds, which was insane, an insane time limit. And nowadays it's 1 minute. In a way, the time limit is annoying, but at the same time, it's kind of like a limit. Sorry, it's kind of like something to squeeze out your creativity, I feel, to make sure your magic has to fit within that 1 minute. Or back then it was 15 seconds. Because it immediately selects for you what kind of methods, what kind of effects you can do. and what you cannot. And so creating magic for Instagram, it usually has to be very visual, very quick. And I realized that the biggest thing that gets the most likes and get the most views is novelty. That's one thing. So if it's things that people usually have seen before, that usually gets no traction whatsoever. But if it's something weird, even if it's not very, very fooling, if it's something very new, people will really respond well to that. Yeah.
So you're talking about plot or method?
Both. Usually plots are kind of hard to handle because...
Okay.
You know, in 1 minute, you're not going to be... Effect rather than plot, then? Yeah, either one. Like, if you're a cardist, for example, like a new mechanic when you're doing a cut or doing a flourish always gets the most attention, you know? Mm-hmm. It's always about the novelty because, in this sort of, like, scrolling feed system, like Instagram has, where people are just scrolling down, anything that is eye-catching, that catches their attention because it's new, it's something they've never seen before, will always do much better than something it seems like they have seen before. So that's why something that catches their eye is always very important.
Interesting. Now, you're one of the series that you do on Instagram is the Fully Booked stuff where you talk about tricks that you like in books. Now, we can break some news, I think, about how you might be helping us with that.
Yeah, sure. So I started Fully Booked last year, actually, about a year ago. It was a bit of a gamble because I was running out of content to begin with. I was kind of tired. For a while, I was doing a lot of black art and visual stuff, you know, like pulling cards out of thin air, mm-hmm. using black art and kind of thing. And I started getting tired of that because I think my viewers were also getting tired of that and the response was getting worse and worse. So I started thinking that maybe I want to use this platform for something good and something that I'm actually passionate about, which is magic books. I really like magic books. I started learning magic actually from books and not from videos many, many years ago. Uh-huh. So, and I realized I have quite a big collection and I wanted to share my love for magic books with the community, mainly because in Singapore, when I'm talking to younger magicians, and I ask them, hey, why aren't you reading books? They always say, oh, firstly, it's expensive. I don't know whether I should invest in a certain book because I don't know whether it's good. I don't know whether it's for me, and so on and so forth. So living in Asia is always like that. Shipping the books is almost more expensive than the book itself, you know? Mm. So I started to do this series for my friends in Singapore, but also actually around the world, people who are thinking of whether they want to get a particular book. I talk about it. It's a bit of a gamble because it's... 1 minute trick and a 1 minute review, and it's the tricks are usually not very visual. I mean, usually most magic books don't contain incredibly visual tricks. So initially the response was a little bit slow on those videos. They weren't my most popular videos, but eventually it gained a lot of traction and it started getting a really steady following, and it was getting like a lot of likes and a lot of comments and people started messaging me a lot saying that they wish that firstly they liked the content on Fully Booked. And also, they wish that I would go into more detail with each book. But of course, that's not possible.
How could you possibly go into more detail?
thank you very much for that absolutely natural segue into the announcement.
Right?
Yeah, you're following Di Vernon's words of being natural. Very smooth transitions. So I realized that Instagram is a great platform for kids. You know, because it's a 1 minute thing. They can watch a trick for 1 minute, watch the review for 1 minute, and that's it. But to go into more detail, it is limiting. There are a lot of books I want to do that cannot fit that 1 minute mark, right? Any Ascanio book or any Darwin Ortiz book or many, many other books, their routines just don't fit in 1 minute. So Vanishing Ink contacted me and said that, hey, maybe you should find a more permanent home for this thing. And so I'm announcing that I'm going to be doing Fully Booked for the Vanishing Ink blog. So it will be a blog post, I think once every 2 weeks, so fortnightly. I'm going to be going into more detail with each book. I can do probably more performances, longer performances, right? Maybe at least 2 tricks per book. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm very excited about the opportunities that this platform will provide me.
And you're not limited to 1 minute with the video bits either.
Exactly. There's so many routines. Like I would pick up a book that I think is really good. Let's say a Stuart James book. And Stuart James tricks, if you know, are very self-working, very clever, mathematical. But then the tricks last for, like, if you perform it, it lasts for like 5 minutes. There's no way it can fit on that. So in the end, I had to choose like a very you know, what I think is an okay trick only that can fit in 1 minute. So it ends up being quite annoying that a lot of the tricks end up being packet tricks. They are not like visual color changes from the book, when actually there's a much better routine I could have featured.
Right. Right.
So I think the Vanishing Block has, you know, will provide me with many new opportunities to showcase what each book really, really will provide for the reader if you choose to buy the book.
And we very much look forward to having you start doing it. Why do you think, obviously, with in Asia particularly and the shipping costs, you've covered that one, but why do you think generally younger magicians are kind of shunning books and picking videos instead?
Well, okay, so let me just make it clear. I think I've said this on somewhere else before, but I'm actually, despite my love for magic books, I'm not actually someone who is like, magic books are the only way to go, you know, screw videos, don't watch videos, there's nothing good in those videos, just keep reading Di Vernon, you know, that kind of thing. obviously, that's absolutely untrue. And whenever an older magician tells me that or tells a younger magician, I just roll my eyes because that's obviously nonsense. But what I think is why I think young people are shunning books, firstly, is they're not used to reading and learning magic from books. It's not an easy thing, I'll be honest. And when beginners say that they find it hard to read from books, I say, yeah, exactly. But just like, to me, it's like you're working out for a body. If you want a muscular body, if you want a good-looking body, your first few reps with the dumbbells or the barbells, whatever it is going to be painful. It's going to be difficult, right? If you give up at that moment, you say, oh, you know what? My biceps are hurting. I'm just going to put them weights down and not do it, then you'll never have the body you want. But if you keep on with it, you'll realize that actually reading from books is a muscle you have to train. You have to learn how to read from it, and eventually you'll get good at it. I think the second reason why a lot of young people besides are shunning books, besides the unfamiliarity with learning from text, is that it's expensive.
Right.
A lot of young people don't have their own income. And honestly, I think it's sad to say that a lot of young people are used to getting free magic, right? They're used to like, oh, let me just search on Google for this particular thing. Oh, it has been torrented or it's already uploaded on some cloud and it's free to download somewhere. So a lot of the DVDs, a lot of the instant downloads are unfortunately being pirated and you know, being just, you can download it for free online. So when it comes to a book, like, you know, the Di Vernon Book of Magic or Ed Marlowe's Revolutionary Card Technique, if that's not available online, they'll say, what? I have to pay $80 for that book plus shipping? Then why not I just download something from another website, you know, that has a cool trailer that I can see immediately what it is, right? So it's a combination of that kind of unfortunate, I mean, it sounds bad, but a kind of entitlement they feel. Like, I want free stuff. I'm used to getting free stuff.
Right.
And second is the unfamiliarity. Like, if I buy this Ed Marlowe book, I don't know what it's like. I can't see a trailer of the, you know, the snap change or something like that that's in the book or whatever it is.
Sure.
So they don't feel a particular need to do that. They just want to buy something that they can see and immediately know, and they snap their fingers and they have it on their computer.
So how do you approach a new book? So there'd be people listening that may be younger that are into the learning from video, hopefully from legitimate sources. So you get a new book, comes in the post. What's your approach?
So my approach is definitely, I kind of look at actually the intro, which is something that not many people read. But I think the introduction often provides ideas about how the author thinks. And how and the kind of magic you're going to expect. It also gives you an idea of how easy the book is going to read. You know, how easy the book is to read from. So I often start with the introduction. I look at a content page to see what kind of tricks are going to come up. Usually the content page will give you ideas on the chapter. You know, when you look at the chapter names and so on, it gives you an idea of what to expect. And usually I don't read immediately from cover to cover. Very often I kind of flip through the book at first just to see if there are any interesting pictures or photos that immediately catch my eye. Which is kind of a weird thing. Most people say that's kind of a weird, you know, tell me there's a weird way to read a book. But I usually start from budget, like flipping through the book and see if there's anything that catches my eye. Maybe it's a trick name. Maybe it's a picture of some hands holding the cards in a weird way. that catch my eye, I go, oh, that looks interesting. I'm going to learn that trick first.
Right.
Somehow that eases me into, you know, the book. And once I learn a few tricks, I realize, you know what, this book is really good. I'm going to read it cover to cover. And I read it cover to cover. That's how I
really
read it.
That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. Talking of books, I understand you may have one coming out soon.
Yes, I do have a book coming out soon with Vanishing Ink.
Ah!
Ah! Wow.
Another amazingly smooth segue.
Very, very smooth. Very, very smooth segue.
Principia? How do you pronounce it?
Principia. It is Principia. Pronounced Principia.
I tell you, not bad. Not bad.
Very good. Very good. Most people say think it's Principia, right?
That's what it looks like.
It looks like it's Principia. Right. So the title of the book is Principia. It is Latin for principles. It is actually named after Sir Isaac Newton's book on gravity and the laws of motion that was published in the 1600s, if I'm not wrong. The reason for that is because I studied physics in London and Cambridge. That's how I knew you, Damien, by the way.
Yes, that's how we first
I wasn't there just to party for 4 years. So Principia. So I'm very inspired by physics, and the whole book is formatted around the theme of physics. So that's why the book is named as such.
Okay, so what's in the book?
Not much. You shouldn't buy it. No, just kidding.
Oh, you haven't got the idea of this at all, Harapin. Come on.
Okay, let me get it. Yeah. Principia is a book on card magic. Okay, there's nothing but card magic in the book. All right. So if you're a lover of card magic, if you're interested in my work on cards, you should definitely check out this book, because this is the book I've always wanted to share with everyone. It has pretty much all my work to date, besides the culling stuff that was in Close Calls, which is also another book that Vanishing Ink produced. You should check it out. hey, nice segue there as well. Hey,
that's good. That's good, man.
Yeah.
I learned
that smoothness from Ascanio, I think. So besides my culling stuff, basically all my other card stuff I've ever come up with that I think is good is in this book. It's resulted in like a really big, hefty 250 pages with more than 50 tricks in the book. So it's a really, really, really good, really, really big book.
Why did you write it?
Why did I write it? That's a good question. Firstly, I was afraid I was going to forget a lot of things. Because my mind, I'm one of those guys that jumps from idea to idea. I don't work on one act, you know, like maybe I know there's some magicians out there who maybe they say you're interested in competitions. You will work on one act for 10 years, right?
Sure.
And that takes dedication.
Goshman does one act for his whole life.
yeah. But that's for a different reason. Actually, I have no idea what reason that is. but for me, I'm the kind of person that likes to jump from idea to idea. I like being creative. I like inventing new things. I'm always all about what's the latest idea I've had. So I just want to collect everything. And a lot of people just asking me, hey, Harapan, what other ideas do you have besides the cull? You know, besides culling ideas, what other ideas do you have? And so this book is my answer. It has everything I've ever had. It has all sorts of weird things. It has classic plots taken in strange directions. It has some new plots that I think will really interest anyone who's interested in card magic. It will really inspire you, I think. It has so much stuff. If you're interested in self-working stuff, there is stuff in there that's self-working. There's tricks with easy sleight of hand, difficult sleight of hand, with gaff playing cards, gaff decks, and even some gaffs that are quite intricate. You have to make them yourself. So it's really, really all kinds of stuff that I think if you're interested in card magic, you must get this book.
So how hard is the hard stuff in there? How knuckle-busting are we talking?
I've gone to the hospital a few times to get my knuckles replaced.
That's pretty hard.
It is very, very hard.
What are a couple of your favourite... I'm interested in the wrinkles on classic plots. So can you talk about one of those, maybe?
Oh, okay, I've got one. There's one trick you should definitely check out. It's a weird take on a sandwich plot. Okay. The trick is called Sandwichception.
Okay.
It's named after the movie Inception, if you've watched it before. Christopher Nolan's movie Inception, where it's about dreaming within dreams, right? A dream within a dream. So my friend Kevin Ho had an idea of a sandwich within a sandwich. Right? So imagine this. You do a standard sandwich effect. Let's say that two red aces trapping one card, right? You pull out the card from in the middle, and when you turn it over, it's another sandwich. It's two black queens and then trapping another card. You turn it over, it's another sandwich. And eventually it leads you to a mini card sandwich. You pull it out and you see three mini cards trapping a single mini card in the middle.
Oh my gosh.
All right? And then imagine this ending here where I pull out the mini card from the middle, and the moment I pull it out, the mini card grows into a real poker-sized card, which is their selection. So it's a very visual ending where a mini card visually grows into a poker-sized card.
I need to insert the like mind-blown GIF here, but I can't because it's an audio podcast. But that sounds crazy, man.
Thank you. Let's make the sound.
There we go.
Yeah, so that sandwichception. Kevin Ho had the idea of sandwich in a sandwich. The ending over there with the growing thing was my idea. So we collaborated on that trick. And it's in the book.
Oh, wow. That sounds amazing.
That's a pretty insane trick. Yeah, thank you.
Well, I can't wait to... Oh, the photographs. The illustrations in the books are quite interesting, aren't they?
Yes, because the whole book, I wanted to format it around the theme of physics and science, like I said. So each trick in the book is actually formatted as if it's a published scientific research paper. So it's not just an effect method and then conclusion or whatever it is, or sometimes just effect and method. It has an abstract at the start to give you an idea of how the trick works, an introduction to lead you into the history of the trick, and then the method, the results, which is how the trick is supposed to be performed. And what I like about it is that at the end, there is a analysis and conclusion section where I talk about where I think this, what I think is good about this trick, what I think it has improved on from the classic plots, and as well as what I think it has failed. Actually, this is interesting. I've chosen to purposely state what I think it has failed to achieve yet.
That honesty is unusual.
Yeah, because I feel like magic is a collaborative thing, just like science. Like, no scientist in the world can do everything, right? Even Einstein was wrong on certain things.
Sure.
So it takes other scientists to build on Einstein's work, for example, to continue developing science and progress. So to me, magic is the same thing. So I purposely state what I think is still the trick has failed to achieve yet. I mean, there is the weaknesses of each trick. And then I challenge the readers, or I suggest to the readers, where I think this trick can be taken to. Just that I don't have the solutions yet, because I can't think of one. If I did, I would have put it in the book.
Yeah.
But I can't think of a solution for it.
It's almost like putting something out there that encouraging the audience to not fix, but grow.
Yeah, it is. I think it is. I think magic is like an enterprise. People are just... I mean, I'm inspired by science, so it's like a scientific enterprise where no one scientist can ever be the be-all, end-all of all science. It's always, you can work on something until as much as you can, to the extent of your knowledge. You publish it. This is what I've discovered. This is what I found. And then someone else is interested in it, takes it, and brings it further.
That's a beautiful way of approaching and thinking about magic. It's almost a Creative Commons-y kind of, here's something, what can you do with it? You know, it's amazing. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Well, as the noise has got crazy and we're at half an hour,
yep.
I think we might wrap it up. Apart from Instagram, where else can people find out more about you, Harapan?
For now, I think Instagram is all, but I think from next year onwards, you can find me more present on Vanishing Ink's blog. You can find me more, doing fully booked and all that. If not, yeah, you can. I think Instagram is the best way. I hardly use
Facebook. Instagram's the best.
Yeah, I hardly use Facebook nowadays. So you can find me on Instagram and drop me a message. Yeah, drop me a message.
Thank you so much for taking the time out of your holiday to talk to us, Harapan. I really appreciate your time.
No problem at all. No problem at all.
I hope to see you soon.
It's been a pleasure.
Take care, man.
Okay, bye, Damien.